Okay, I hear it rustling. That means it's on. All right, it's good. It's good to be with you tonight. I appreciate the congregation here asking me to come and to speak. That Mr. Eric contacted me and Chris and got us to come and speak. And I really do. Is this too loud? No, good. Okay. I really do appreciate the opportunity to preach the gospel any chance that I get. It truly is. I mean, when you hear preachers say it's a job like no other, it really is. And it's not my job, but I really do enjoy doing it. And hopefully we can look into God's Word tonight and just sit down, look into His Word, and hopefully we can pull some things from the Scriptures. What I'd like to talk to you about tonight is the question, after I become a Christian, then what? I struggle with this a lot, so this is one of the reasons that I came up with this lesson, but I feel like Christians need to be reminded of what they need to be doing in their life here on earth. And hopefully we can look at some things tonight that us as Christians need to be doing. But before we get started, as kind of an introduction, let's just look and define our terms. So what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, in Vance Dutton terms, Christian is a follower of Christ, not only a follower of Christ, but a follower of His teaching. So a follower of the teacher and the teaching of Christianity. And it is one, being a Christian is one who heard His word, believed, repent, confess, and they were baptized. And not only that, but what we're going to talk about tonight is living the life of a Christian afterwards and staying faithful to God. A lot of things that Christians struggle with is that they have this mentality that after you're baptized, you know, I'm a Christian, and then we've all experienced it. If you are a Christian tonight, you've all experienced that as soon as you became a Christian, you had zeal almost just out the roof to want to go and just show and tell everyone that you're a Christian. But it seems like over time that zeal dies, and that it seems like it needs to be sharpened more and more, it seems like, as we go along through life. And one of the reasons that that's true is because the world is constantly pressuring Christians and is constantly just pushing their agenda on Christians nowadays, that it is hard. And even though it's hard, that's not an excuse. And that's something that we really need to think about and we really need to look at tonight. Let's look at the way some people in the world look at Christians. You know, there are some guys who say, "Oh, my neighbor Joe over there, he is a good Christian man." When let's use some things that he does. Joe over here, he helps people. He helps the needy. He takes care of his children. He is a good moral man. But if he does not fully follow God's teaching, then you cannot call him a Christian man. Just because the world sees somebody that is a good person, all of a sudden they get this title of Christian. And that's not something that we should take lightly, but it seems though as if the world has taken it lightly. And a lot of people who become baptized, who hear, believe, confess, repent, and be baptized, whenever they are baptized, it's almost as if they've just gotten wet. And it's as if they, you know, "Oh, I'm baptized, I'm wearing the title, I've got this title on my back as Christian now." But it seems like their hope is still in the world. And it seems like all of their priorities are still in the world. And that's just something that, as Christians, as real followers of Christ, that we should not have that attitude. That is not what God calls His children to be in this world. And that's kind of what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at three things that we need to be doing after we become a Christian. So the first thing tonight is that we do not need to be ashamed of what we stand for. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12. We'll start off and we'll read verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And we're going to kind of look at here is the world will look at you differently, but don't falter. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. The text says here, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So this is a very common passage to all of us, but we really need to take it seriously. The reason it's common and it's all familiar to us is because we have heard it a lot, and it's something that is extremely important to us. So the world, when you talk about the world, we're talking about the things in the world, the people in the world, the evil things that are in the world. And this passage is saying, do not be conformed to this world, talking to Christians, saying that the word conformed kind of means to be molded to be made like. And that's what this passage is saying. It's saying, do not conform, do not be made like the world, but be transformed. We'll talk about this here in a second. But the fact of the matter is that the world is going to look at you differently. If you are a Christian, you're following the Bible, following His Word, the world is going to look at you differently. And if they're not, then that should be a little red flag that goes up in our minds that maybe we need to make some adjustments. If the world does not look at you differently, if you're just going about your daily life and you're not receiving any, I'm not saying that you have to be ridiculed to be a Christian, but that's probably going to come when you're a Christian. If you're doing it right, is that you are going to receive you are going to be ridiculed. You are going to be looked at differently. And if we're not, we need to take a look at ourselves. Moving on to the second part of this verse that we just read, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So not only we see here this transition thing where do not be conformed to the world, but you are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I like to look at the example of a caterpillar. So caterpillars, I personally do not think caterpillars are cute. I think they're kind of nasty looking. And I mean, they look like a worm. They look deadly. Some of them are deadly. And caterpillars just aren't good looking animals. And you wouldn't want to have one as your pet just sitting in your room. But you know, of course, they undergo metamorphosis and they turn into a beautiful butterfly. And that example can be applied to Christians as well. You know, the old life of sin, of that just ugly, hideous state that we were in, which we're going to talk about here later, is transformed into something beautiful. And we need to make sure that we live up to that calling with which we were called, that God called us to be that beautiful creature which He created and He called His children to be. And we need to make sure we live up to that. Turn now to John chapter 15. And we're going to see the words of Jesus here to His apostles. John chapter 15 and verse 19. So this is Jesus here speaking to His apostles. "If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." So I really could just read that passage and move on, because that's just as cut and dry as you can get, that Jesus states it here. You can't word it any better than our Master. But Jesus is saying, we're not apostles, obviously. We know that we're not, but the same principle applies. If we are a Christian and we are still loved by the world, then we need to take a look at ourselves. Jesus is saying here, He called you out of the world. The word church, I believe, is kind of defined as a calling out, or one who is called out. And that's what Jesus is saying here, is I have called you out of the world to be something different than the world is, and the world's going to hate you for it. And if the world hates you for it, then you're probably doing it right. You're probably following God's word to a T. And we need to just think about that as we go. Also, we need to know that we have salvation through God and the truth of His word. That is another way that we shouldn't be ashamed of what we stand for, because what we stand for is salvation. What we stand for is the way to salvation. What we stand for is the way that saves the world. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We'll see that here. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. This is Paul speaking here. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So we see here simply that salvation is found in God's word. Why be ashamed? Do we not see what we have in front of us? Do we not see that God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's a living book? It's not just, Christopher's dad actually did an invitation on this a few Wednesday nights ago, is that this is not just some ordinary book. This is a book that, if you follow it or not, determines where you spend eternity. And a lot of people don't really get the magnitude of that. And we really do need to get that the gospel is the way of is the way to salvation. And Paul says here, he says, I'm not ashamed of it. So why be ashamed of it? Also, let's look at his words again in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that what I have committed to him until that day. So we all know enough about Paul to know that he, being one of the apostles, he went through just really an unbelievably amount of suffering. He went through stonings, being cast out of cities, shipwrecked. I'm not going to go through and read those verses, but we know that Paul went through a lot of that stuff. And this point has been made time and time again, but I'm going to make it again. He went through those sufferings for something that he believed very strongly in. And he believed in it because he believed it was the truth. And it is the truth, therefore, he was willing to go through those sufferings for God's word, for being a Christian. And Paul went through those things. And we should be willing to as well. And he says here, the statement that he makes, he says, I have believed, and he is persuaded. So Paul is fully convinced in the truth of God's word. And we should be too. Also, we need to realize the point that Jesus will be ashamed of us if we are of him. This is a very sobering thought if you really think about it. Turn with me to Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. Very simple verse that really cuts the heart if you think about it. Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. So Jesus is saying here, whoever is ashamed of me in this awful world, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed. So he kind of describes here the state of a man who, he's kind of saying there's a man who is in this adulterous and sinful generation. He's an awful person if he is living and acting like all of this stuff around him in this adulterous and sinful generation, talking about the world. And Jesus says, if he's ashamed of me, then I'm going to be ashamed of him. And that's an extremely scary thought to sit there and think of our Savior who came to die for us, turning around and being ashamed of us because we were ashamed of him. We were ashamed of his word. We were ashamed of being called a Christian. And we should not ever be ashamed of that title. And we should live a life of a Christian, which we're going to look at next. That's the second point, is to live our life in full devotion to God. Just as simple as that. We are to live our lives, our lives are God's, and we'll see that here in a second. But first off, let's look at our awful condition before becoming a Christian, like we kind of looked at with a caterpillar, but in a little more detail. Turn to Romans chapter 6, and we're going to look at a couple verses there. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17 and the first part of verse 19. So Romans 6, 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Now look in the first part of verse 19. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. So let's just kind of look at that half here. Before we were saved, before we were saved by Jesus, before you became a Christian, you were in the bondage of sin and you were enslaved by sin, which means that the term slavery, we all know what slavery consists of. It consists of you not really having an option of what to do, you being completely controlled by something. And that's what it's saying here. They were enslaved and in the bondage of sin. But then you move on and look at the other half of it after you became a Christian. Romans chapter 6 and verse 18. And having been set free from sin, that shows again that there was something that you needed to be set free from, that sin. You became slaves of righteousness. Look at verse 22. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. So we see here that we came out of sin and we are now slaves to righteousness. So whenever you make that transition in your life, you make the transition from being a slave, being enslaved by sin, to being a slave to God and being a slave to righteousness. And that transition is a lot easier said than done. But when it is made, you need to be fully committed to God. And whenever you decide to make that decision, you need to live your life like you made that decision and live your life like you're a Christian. Also, we just simply need to know that our very life belongs to the Lord. Turn to Romans chapter 14. We'll see that just a few pages over. Romans chapter 14 and verse 8. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. So this passage just simply states that we are the Lord's. I can't state it any simpler than that. That our life, as we live our life, we need to never forget as a Christian that we belong to the Lord. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So our life does belong to the Lord. So everything in our life should point to God. Everything in our life people should see Him living in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So in just a few words, this passage says so much. It's saying whatever you do. It says whatever and it says all. So that includes everything. The words whatever and the words all mean everything. They mean every single thing that we do, it's to the glory of God. It's whenever you walk out that door, whenever you're dealing with the man at the cash register at the store, whenever I'm standing before you preaching, whenever you're teaching a Bible class, whenever you're dealing with people, whatever you do throughout your daily life is to the glory of God. And that's because your life is the Lord's. And I think that's something that we really need to get, because let me just stop for a second and say this. Here in America, our people are so stuck on themselves, and they're so stuck on getting more stuff, getting as much stuff as I can have, and it's all centered around them. And I think that because the world around us acts that way, I think that's why this is a hard point to get, that our life doesn't belong to us, it belongs to the Lord. And since it belongs to the Lord, every single thing we do should be pointing to Him, and they should see Christ living in us. And also, this point was brought out to me a few months ago, is that Christianity is not a one-time thing like we talked about in the beginning, but it is a lifestyle. So whenever you talk about a lifestyle, it's just simply talking about your way of life. Your heart, is it pure? Your mind, is it clean? Your thoughts, are they evil or are they good? All of those things shows that Christianity is a lifestyle, and that it's not just a one-time thing. It's not a one and done, I was baptized, I'm a Christian, I've got the title now, so I can go and do whatever I want to. That's not what Christianity is. It's a continual thing of just having the mindset that your life belongs to the Lord. And that's what it is. And I know it's a lot easier said than done, but it's something that we really need to think about and that we need to go and take action on. And the last point that Chris kind of touched on this morning is that we just need to keep our eyes on heaven. And I really do believe that if we do this, I've seen people who I've talked to before that I really do believe that they have their eyes on heaven, because I see that they don't worry as much about stuff here. That if your eyes are on heaven, then all of this stuff is not gonna affect the way you serve God, if you really have your mind set on heaven. And let's look at that here, this last point in closing tonight. So we need to keep our mind on heaven, not on earth. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, and we'll read the first two verses. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So these verses are just saying that we need to set our mind on things above, that not on things of this earth. This earth has so many awful, more awful things than we, sometimes it seems like, more awful things than good, because we sit back and we see all the corruption and all the evil that goes on. And God's saying here, keep your mind on things above, not on things of this evil and wicked world. Also, we need to understand that in heaven is where God is. In heaven is where Jesus is. The one who came to this earth, who died for us sinners in that awful, ugly state of sin, He's in heaven. And we should want, as Christians, we should want to be with Him. We should have this constant desire to want to be in heaven with our Lord. And all of that, all of this really does start with having a good heart, having a heart. The idea of a heart is something that we're going to talk about this kind of here in a second. But the idea of a heart is something that's the very inner, the very center piece of you. And if you really love Jesus with all of your heart, not only will you keep His commandments, but you should want to keep His commandments, and you should want to be in heaven with Him. And now let's just look at storing our treasures in heaven, which the point was brought out this morning. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but Matthew chapter 6, a very familiar passage, says, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So see here, it starts It starts with the heart. It starts with a heart where your heart needs to be in heaven. You need to set your heart, set your mind on things above and not on things of this earth. And I could sit up here and stress that to you for hours and hours because it's so important. And like I said time and time again, it's easier said than done, but it's something that we really do seriously need to think about and just work on in our lives, that I need to work on in my life. Also, we need to know that heaven is the Christian's goal. It is where he or she belongs. We were born as humans. We were born into this world, obviously. Everybody came from a mother, and so we have known nothing but this world. We have known nothing but the very ground that we stand on and the people that we see all around us. That's all we've known. So it's really hard for us to get the idea of that we don't belong here. As Christians, our real home is in heaven. And just because we've never seen it doesn't mean that that's not our real home. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. So we're kind of in the middle of a thought here, but the previous three verses just talking about how those who are enemies of the cross of Christ talk about their end is destruction and whose God is their belly, just talking about evil people. But then Paul goes on to say here, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is just simply saying that your citizenship, where you belong, is in heaven. And that citizenship is just talking about, we all know what the citizenship test is. Those who come into this, let's say someone comes into the country, they have to take a citizenship test to become a part of this country. Well, our citizenship as Christians is in heaven. That is where we belong. And we need to make sure we get that in our minds. Also, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And here in Hebrews 11, we see where it's talking about the people of faith, and then this is talking about Abraham. This passage is talking about people, all the people of faith that it talked about before. But we're going to use Abraham as an example after we read these couple verses. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 14 through 16. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now, they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So let's kind of look at Abraham as an example. We see Abraham... we see how God told him, he says, go to a land that I will show you, and the great faith that Abraham had. But Abraham still moved about. The debate between him and Lot to who would have the better land, and Abraham was, he did not have one home for a very long time, for a long period of time. And that's what this passage is saying. These all who died in faith, they have something better prepared for them. They don't have something that they have to move around, but they have a home that is set in place for those who follow God and who truly follow His Word. And we have that same home that those in the Old Testament and the New Testament, all the Christians, the true Christians in the past have, that we have that same home prepared for us. So now in closing, if you would turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to see the words of Paul here. Some very strong words. 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 7 and 8. These are some of my favorite verses. Paul's saying here, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul was able to say those things, say those words right there, because he knew where he was headed. And Paul knew that he had fought the good fight and that he had finished the race and that he had kept the faith. And that's a man with his eyes on heaven. That's a man with his eyes on that place that's prepared for Christians. And whenever you're at the end of your life, I don't know, we don't know if you're going to be able to speak or what the situation is going to be, but if you are, will you be able to say those words that Paul said? Will you be able to say that I have finished the race? Will you be able to say that you have kept the faith and that you have kept your eyes on heaven, that you weren't ashamed of God and that you lived your life in full devotion to Him? Will you be able to think that at the end of your life? So tonight, as we sit here and consider these things, if you are a Christian, then you need to try to do these things because these are some crucial things in the life of a Christian that we really need to be doing. And if you're not, think about it, because although being the life of a Christian is not all roses and just, you know, hey, I'm just going to go through life on this earth and not be hurt by anybody. It is very tough. That's why there are few who find the narrow way, because it is hard. But it leads to eternal life, and it's the right way to go. So if you're not a Christian tonight and you want to become one, I seriously ask and I beg that you consider that, because it's the right way, and it's the way that leads to heaven. Or if you are a Christian and you have done some things that a Christian shouldn't be doing, and you have strayed from the way of being a true Christian, then you need to make that right. And if we can help you in any way tonight, please come while we stand and as we sing.